up, everybody?
Welcome back to another spooky episode of Mile Higher Podcast.
Yeah.
Today on episode 86, we are discussing the world's most haunted objects.
Oh, yeah. I'm
this
so excited for
really
this.
Really creepy stuff, actually. Like, oh, I got kind of freaked out reading getting ready for this. But
and there's just so much stuff that I never even heard of before that is some of the most haunted objects on the planet, supposedly. So
I had only heard of Robert the doll, which we'll be
Robert
talking
the doll
about, but that one's a very famous one.
Probably some ones you have heard of and some that you haven't, hopefully. So really excited to dive into the haunted area of the world, because there's so much with that is so interesting. But today's sponsors are Zebit, Snow, Upstart, and stamps.com. and by the way, Hemp Bombs has got some new products that we wanted to share with y'all.
This is so cool. They came out with two new CBD rollers, essential oil rollers. And there's two blends. There's a Focus blend, which I'm using now. It is very citrusy. And the fact that it also contains CBD in it is so awesome, because I use essential oil rollers every day. But having the CBD right in there is awesome.
Dual benefits of the essential oil and the CBD in there. So,
and then they also have Sleepy, which is, I haven't tried this yet. Oh, but it's very lavendery.
Yeah, these are
relaxing.
Great just to...
They're 125 milligrams, too. Yeah. Hemp Bombs is the best for CBD, you guys. Definitely check them out. And be sure to use the code MILEHIGHER for 20% off their entire website.
Yes, definitely check
that
out.
That's a really good code.
Yeah, and they also got pain patches, which are great as well for those that have chronic pain. They're the transdermal patches, which are really great. And they got dog biscuits, right?
Yep.
CBD dog biscuits, which are
tinctures. I have my tincture right here too. I have a 4,000 milligram tincture right here.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you got pain, anxiety, or anything like that, then definitely check out Hemp Bomb CBD. It's good stuff. But let's go ahead and jump right into this week's news stories, because there was a lot of really interesting shit that happened, really. And this first story is kind of mind blowing, because the NASA chief scientist came out this week and said that NASA is close to finding life on Mars, but the world is not ready for the quote unquote revolutionary implications of the discovery.
That's crazy that it's like right on the horizon. We're already starting to hear stuff like this starting to come out, being told, you know?
Well, and then he went on to say, so there's two rovers that are going to be up on Mars from NASA and the European Space Agency. And he actually said that they could find evidence of life within months of arriving on Mars in March 2021.
So 2021.
So we're talking like the next couple of years, but still, like,
he's absolutely right that people are not ready for this at all. I mean, some people are going to question everything about everything in their life, what they believe, how they live their life, what they do with their time. If it's like the purpose of their life will be literally questioned.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will definitely be questioning things quite a bit,
especially people that don't even believe in aliens at all, like haven't really even seen any good evidence yet, or like don't really know what's going on. They're gonna be shook.
Well, because just even if we only find like microbial life, or they come back, and what the rovers are actually doing is they're going to be roving the soil, pulling samples that are going to be examined for organic matter, essentially. And organic matter is a form of life, you know. It's not necessarily like E.T. walking around the surface of the planet or anything, but still, even
it's huge, though.
Even finding microorganisms will just 100% prove that aliens do exist, and that there are most definitely probably other alien beings out there that exist.
It's just so odd that there are so many people on this planet that don't even believe there's a possibility of microbial life beyond our Earth, that literally the only form of any type of life is here. Isn't that so ignorant with how, you know, huge the universe is to think that?
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know anybody that thinks like that. I'm sure they're out there.
Oh, there are.
But I feel like the mass majority of people do believe that life exists outside of our planet, for sure.
Well, I think a lot of younger people do, but the older generation still has.
Yeah, I guess if you were to go ask your grandparents, like, maybe they'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah, they haven't found anything. Yeah. So. Well, they believe everything coming out of the government or NASA. But this is interesting.
And another thing that they, another study that came out this week is basically that they believe Venus may have been habitable for 2 to 3 billion years before its atmosphere became too dense and too hot. And like Mars, everything vanished off the face of it. But when you think about that, you start realizing that the history of our solar system is so unknown to us, and the truth about what what it was really like mm-hmm. maybe millions of years ago or billions of years ago is really quite interesting to think about, because there could have been full on life. And
what if we're headed the same way humans as Mars and Venus, hot and dried out?
That's what it seems like we're doing, right?
Yeah, it really does.
Climate change and global warming and everything. I mean, I think we're still a long ways away from that happening, because if you think about it, in order to accelerate us to that point, we would need some type of like nuclear disaster, you know?
Well, doesn't it make you think about what if life started at like the furthest planet and then we slowly started moving closer and closer as we messed up ecosystems and like whatever one we could actually have life on, we moved to. Maybe we moved from Venus. Maybe humans originate from Venus or beyond.
Yeah. You know, well, it goes back to that panspermia theory, you know, like life on Earth began from another place in space, which is interesting to think about, because we've learned, you know, over time that Mars may have been, you know, had actual beings living on it at one point. And, you know, there was some type of disaster there that wiped out the planet. And
probably nuclear war.
It's the closest one to us. So I don't know. It's really interesting. But it seems like NASA is going to be announcing that aliens exist like officially very soon. And it's interesting because all this kind of comes on the heels of all the UFO mania that's been happening. It seems like this year
it's been a major like craze with
the Navy and stuff. And like Tom DeLonge, he just came out this past week and is like, I have essentially alien metals in my possession that are unknown to this planet.
Which he's been saying that for a long time, but he on a more public platform said that recently.
Yeah. Well, he had it personally for a while, I guess. And then his company actually paid money to buy it from him. It's kind of weird what they did. And so I think they're going to be releasing information about that. But
is he talking about Element 115?
I don't know if it's that's already a known thing. We've already actually created Element 115. Elements. This is some other type of metal alloy or something that he got a hold of from a crash or something like that. That is unknown to planet Earth. It's an alien metal essentially, and he's going to be studying it and trying to figure out what it is and where it's from. So it's, I don't know, it's really interesting. I think we're going to be hearing about aliens pretty soon, guys, which is kind of exciting.
Definitely in the next 5 years, but it's also kind of scary. I mean, it's really unknown. I have no idea how people are going to react on the grand scale.
What if people raid
grocery stores and like act like it's doomsday, like something like this shakes us up enough that people start freaking out,
you know? It could
like you and I would probably be like, sweet, let's go outside and find them. But
yeah
just imagine how some people would act.
Well, I think it's also delivery of the news, right? Like how they deliver. We have, you know, if it's like, hey, we've made contact with alien species, here they are,
well, they're not gonna like dump it all on us at once, which is why they're slowly like leaking things over time, these videos that keep coming out.
It's going to be a slow disclosure, pretty much. Yep. Like disclosure is coming very slowly.
I mean, it's already come in a way. It's like it's a giant process. It takes a long time, because if you think about it, it wasn't that long ago. Like, what was it, 2004 that they even acknowledged Area 51?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
So, I mean, it's all part of it. It's just slowly releasing the information to us.
But I think things have really got jump started because of the recent things with you know, like Tom DeLonge and all of his stuff. So it's interesting how everything seems to be kind of accelerating in this.
Well, he's like disclosure. The first company like his with someone on board who has a following, a platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's interesting. Like we could be. Yeah, it's definitely interesting.
It really is. It's going to be exciting to watch all of it unfold.
It is. And it's going to I believe it's going to happen in our lifetime. Like we're going see.
It's
going to
happen in our lifetime.
The truth about UFOs and aliens, I hope.
I think we're going to see a lot of things in our life.
But another odd mystery that's kind of unfolding in Chile actually. So last week, there was these mysterious balls of fire that like streaked across the sky and crashed down in 7 different locations on a Chilean island.
Could it have been ball lightning?
No, because there were balls of fire, not lightning. But maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's pretty much how they're described, was like balls of fire. But
oh. I don't know. Maybe they could be. That's a good explanation for it. But these objects hit the ground and then they actually started small fires. And obviously the first thing that scientists and astronomers think of is that these are meteorites, you know, remnants of meteors and things like that. But when they went and examined the crash sites, they pretty much said that there was nothing natural about it. There was no evidence that these were meteorites or anything really natural. And so the next thing is
UFOs.
No, space debris. Close, but yeah. Could have been like just a satellite, because space junk, you know, like the amount of space junk that's flying around the planet is crazy.
Right away, but I was like,
I would, you know me better. You know me good. I would go there first, but
yeah, no, space junk. That makes a lot of sense. There is so much.
That's another thing that's crazy. Yeah.
So what if a lot of it starts falling down?
It could.
Oh, that's really scary. And then it just burns up in the atmosphere and becomes a fireball.
Small stuff does. Small stuff would burn up, but what's interesting and why there's not evidence of space junk. There should be some remnants of the space junk left over on the ground.
There'd be something,
but there's not. I mean, if you look at
burning metal or something,
like they posted a picture of them examining the ground and it doesn't look like there's any space junk on the ground. It's just like a burned area pretty much. So
that's why I say UFOs. Yeah,
people are speculating like, what is this? You know, what could be crashing down to Earth?
Well, the reason I say UFOs is because in situations of crop circles, they sometimes find like burning ground and like there's electromagnetic like remnants around.
Yeah. Well, there's like radiation from where that area. Yeah.
So it's kind of similar.
Well, that's what they're trying to figure out. And they're looking at the soil right now and stuff, trying to, you know, provide some further analysis as to what happened there. But
weird.
People saw it from their cars. Like, it looks really weird. Yeah, it's like a little ball. It almost looks like an orb going across the sky versus a meteorite. I feel like a meteorite might have more of a tail to it, but this
is really similar to ball lightning. Mm-hmm. That's what ball lightning looks like, though, which we talked about like two episodes ago in that ponder sesh, if you listen to that.
Yeah, but red, you know. I
sometimes
guess ball
it can
lightning
show
could
up
be
as red.
Yeah, it's true.
But it moves around a lot.
Yeah, and it doesn't really crash to the ground and disappear start a fire.
It floats around and moves.
Mm-hmm. Very bizarre, though. So this is unknown. Something unknown hit the ground and caused a bunch of fires, and they have no idea what it is. So we'll have to wait and see if they can figure it out. I mean, they may not be able to. This last thing, though, that I've got for you is
this is gross.
Crazy. So for the past month or two, Oregon has been having a major problem with cattle mutilations, specifically bulls. So like, you know, you have a herd of cattle, then you have a bull that is, they use to make more, you know, breed more cattle and things like that. So the bulls are actually really expensive. They're thousands and thousands of dollars a lot of times for these bulls. And what's happening is ranchers are finding their bulls completely mutilated. So their actual sex organs have been removed, and their blood has been drained. So if you think about that for a second, it's very weird to think about seeing an animal. I mean, I've definitely seen like roadkill or animals that have passed before. Yeah. And, you know, never anything weird or where there's
not with their blood drained.
Blood drained from it.
Oh, that's freaky.
And that's why these ranchers are like, you know, there's something weird going on about it. We don't believe this is a natural thing, because there's speculation on whether or not is this just like natural, like are these bulls being attacked by some sort of animal that's in the area, a predator? But the thing about it is the precision that these organs are removed and obviously like blood drained is really kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And would require some skill and knowledge to do it.
Knowledge of like basic, at least, anatomy.
Mm-hmm. But when they go and find these bulls, there's no footprints around it. There's no sort of evidence that a human has been there. So it's very bizarre. So of course, like with cattle mutilations over the years, this has been a phenomenon that's happened for, you know, a long time. And it kind of comes in waves and goes. So a lot of people believe that it's actually aliens. If aliens are here and observing us, which, interesting fact, more and more people are jumping on the belief that aliens are here just observing us.
Yeah.
A Harvard professor recently actually came out and said that that's what he believes. So I thought was interesting.
Oh, that's so
that
weird.
Aliens are, you know, some type of extraterrestrial species is observing us. And part of what they do is not only do they abduct humans sometimes, but they abduct livestock
animals
and things like that. And, you know, it's kind of a famous, I don't know, thing that UFOs are abducting cows.
That's so weird. I wonder how many of you in Oregon have heard of this happening. Was this like reported in your local news?
I mean, if you're in a city, probably not. This is more rural areas of Oregon.
But it's still like so weird. Of course, they're barely going to talk about it.
Yeah, and like their tongues removed and just weird things. But these ranchers are...
It sounds like almost like sacrifices, though.
Well, that's the thing is the ranchers believe that there's some type of cult that may be in the area.
That could be, too.
That is going out and getting the organs for whatever reason or whatever rituals
they're
doing.
That would not shock me.
Which has happened in the past, so it could definitely be a possibility. It's just weird that they haven't caught anybody. There's no evidence that a human has been there and did this to these cows. So it's very bizarre. The FBI has gotten involved. A lot of different law enforcement's gotten involved. These ranchers, they've offered rewards trying to figure out who is killing these bulls because it's happened a lot over the past couple months.
Poor bulls. It's
so sad. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. So I don't know. Let's see if anything comes out more with that. But yeah, let's go in and jump into haunted objects. Man, I'm excited for this.
Yeah, this is some interesting stuff.
But before we do, we'd like to thank our first sponsors for today.
Everyone wants their home to look and feel great. Luckily, Snow makes that incredibly simple. They create trend-proof, beautiful, functional pieces that are made for how you live. Snow makes luxury essentials for every room in your house, minus the markup. They partner directly with master craftsmen to create beautiful, simple products that are made to last, like their incredibly soft and award-winning sheets and fluffy duvet covers, or their luxurious air-spun cotton towels and robes. They also have super durable, dishwasher-safe porcelain dinnerware and wine glasses with titanium-enforced stems. Snow has received rave reviews from Vogue, Fast Company, Apartment Therapy, and more. It's the home collection of your dreams, priced for your reality. And right now, Snow is offering our listeners $30 off their first purchase of $150 or more when you go to snowhome.com/milehigher. That's S-N-O-W-E home.com/milehigher to get $30 off your first order. Again, visit snowhome.com/milehigher for your special offer today.
We've all been there, suffered through those times when we really needed something. A bigger TV to watch the game, new tires on your car, a tablet to keep track of your busy schedule, or a new computer for your children. But how many of you got that kind of cash lying around to cover those expenses? That's why you need to check out Zebit. With Zebit, you can shop millions of products from your favorite brands and pay for them interest-free over time. Simply choose a product you love and just pay a small portion of the price at checkout, and then the rest you pay over time at 0% interest. Check this out. On Zebit, you can get literally any type of product. They've got everything for electronics, TVs, video games, consoles. They've got home goods. They've got appliances. They've got all sorts of things, pretty much anything you would need. And what's great is that you can actually get all the items that you need interest-free through Zebit, as opposed to going to all the individual different stores and trying to get financing through the individual retailer. In addition to interest-free credit, Zebit has no cost to join, no late fees, and no membership fees. You heard that right. No fees, no cost to join, and no late fees for late payments. So if you're interested in checking out Zebit, you can sign up today at zebit.com/milehigher and get up to $2,500 credit to shop the Zebit marketplace at zero interest and zero cost to join. That's zebit.com/milehigher for $2,500 of interest-free credit. Again, that's zebit.com/milehigher.
Okay. So let's talk about haunted objects.
Yes.
And how to know if they're haunted too. Because I know nothing about this. I always feel kind of low-key uncomfortable in these paranormal episodes because it's never something I've really looked into. I get scared easily. Like,
a lot
true
of people
crime doesn't
do,
scare
though.
Me, but the paranormal stuff really does because I really believe in it.
Well,
and so it freaks me out.
And I understandable because a lot of it is very scary. I'll give you that.
Yeah. But I know really nothing. Like, I don't, you know anything about haunted this and that and how to know if something's haunted. And I don't know a ton of stories and stuff.
Well, the great thing about the paranormal is that most people don't know that much about it, even if they say they do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how much do we actually know about something that we don't even know is actually real? Right.
That's
there's
true.
There's a lot
how
of
how much can you know about something that's not like a confirmed thing?
Exactly. So everybody can have their own. Right? Everybody has their own interpretation of paranormal events and
that's
what
true.
Is considered haunted, how things become haunted. Mm-hmm. There's not like it's not scientifically been proven how an object becomes haunted. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's more based upon people that are psychics and have psychic abilities that have sort of given this information. And I mean, a lot of it's been passed on for a long time. Like, people have been interested in the paranormal and spirits and hauntings for years and years and years. And so a lot of the knowledge has, you know, been passed along. As well as studying it, you start finding similarities and commonalities between different things that are haunted, right? So there's really kind of two versions of haunted objects, as far as how an object becomes haunted in the first place. The most common way is it absorbs energy from the previous owner, right? So just like a crystal that, you know, has energy and can absorb energy, an object is the same thing, right? So if an owner has an object that they care deeply about, they're, it's something very close to them, and something happens to them, something traumatic, or, you know, I don't know, maybe even just sort of speaking it into existence could be a way that you attach yourself to an object. I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly how this works, but most of the times it happens when a traumatic event happens to an individual, and there's either an object close to them when that happens,
or it's something that,
or it's something they really cared about
that they can attach to.
Right. And they attach to it, during that event. So that their energy is essentially transferred into the object. And a lot of times when we're talking about haunted things, you know, it has like a negative connotation to it. So a haunted object is somebody that had a negative or traumatic experience whose then negative energy got passed on to this object. So that is what people consider a haunted object to be in a lot of cases.
So when people like buy haunted dolls and stuff, they're buying like dolls that have
potentially,
or like spirits that are traumatized,
potentially
traumatized spirits living in dolls.
Potentially. Yeah. Cause there's a lot of times there's common objects that people,
collect this stuff. Right. This is like really,
Like people, you can go on eBay and buy haunted boxes, haunted objects. That doesn't mean it's actually haunted, right? We don't know.
Get that in my house. Oh my gosh. Whether it's haunted or not, that would be so chance. Scary.
Yeah. Do you take that risk of potentially getting an object that could be haunted? Or worse, cursed, right?
What's the purpose of buying something that's haunted, though? Is this like, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful in any way, like I'm genuinely curious. Yeah. Is this something that's like a collection? Is it more for religious and spiritual reasons? Is it just for fun?
It's curiosity.
Is it curiosity and just like, I want to see what happens?
I think it's kind of a mix, and it's kind of different from everybody too. Because it reminds me of that series that Shane did with Bunny Meyer.
Oh, yeah.
And that store that she took them all to.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
Yeah, had a bunch of they had a huge objects. Selection. And so obviously they have a customer base and people are buying that stuff.
It's a collecting thing. I think a lot of people collect haunted items. I mean, we'll talk about scary, some people
like
that
you're
do.
possibly bringing them into your house. Unless you don't believe in it, you just think it's fun to collect these old haunted or scary looking items.
Yeah, well, fun. I think people are like, there's a lot of people that are amateur paranormal investigators, right? Like in a sense, I want to investigate this object, or I'm a skeptical. I want to see if this is real. True. A lot of people do it that way. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for
why
people
would play with the Ouija board.
Exactly. I mean, you could take any sort of, you know, thing that someone's obsessed with and be like, well, why do they want that? What about that makes them want to have that thing? You know?
Yeah.
We all have something like that.
These are haunted items that could like fuck up your life.
It's true.
Like some of the stories of people that bring these haunted items into their house, I mean, their lives get ruined.
Yeah. Which we'll talk about today. It's crazy.
So that's why I question it, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like scary. Like why, I get why they want it, but also I'm like, why do you do that? Like what if it goes wrong? Right. That's so scary. I mean, you're really playing with fire.
Well, you don't know if you're getting a positive spirit or a negative spirit.
Like, what if you're getting like a tortured soul? What if you're getting like the most haunted thing in the world and it just happens to be in your eBay haunted box?
Right.
And then you're dealing with that and it like attaches to your soul and your life. And, ugh. I've heard horrible stories of people getting haunted by things. I never want to experience anything like that. So scary.
That's too bad because I do.
You want that?
Yeah, I do because I'm...
What is wrong with
you? I'm really interested in the paranormal, but I'm also a bit skeptical. I won't lie. I think...
Really? You love to watch stuff about it,
No,
though.
I do. I find a lot of it very interesting, and I honestly do believe that it's real, but I have a real problem with people out there that exploit this and make tons of money off the paranormal just because they grab your attention and the shock value, they edit and do all these effects and everything to make it way crazier than it actually is. I'm not a big fan of that. I get some people are, but I like the real stuff. Like, I've found some really good paranormal investigators that it's very real. Like, there's no way they could edit it. It's been verified that this is legitimate footage. And I've seen apparitions. I've seen, you know, different ghosts, different things like that. And I've had a paranormal experience at the Stanley Hotel that we had.
So you're not skeptical that ghosts exist?
No, I'm not skeptical about the paranormal necessarily.
You're skeptical when it comes to this type of content.
And whether or not certain things are haunted.
Case by case, if it's true. Right. Okay.
Yeah, case by case.
I totally agree with you on that then.
Right.
In the exact same way. Because there's so many people exploiting this stuff, it definitely you want to be cautious and make sure the source is good.
Can't believe everything.
Because there's just endless amounts of bullshit on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Endless.
Yeah.
So, totally.
But another way an object could necessarily become haunted is if it's cursed during a magical ritual. So, this is something that goes back to the occult and back to really history. Even like we talked about Salem witch trials. Talking about real witches and people that practice witchcraft or black magic, people to go that down that road, they can actually curse an object and then sort of enchant it so that the curse is held to it, and that no matter where that object goes, that curse is carried along with it. And that curse, you know, if you get a cursed object, that object is going to have some sort of impact on you or your surroundings or your life or your environment or in some way, shape, or form. A cursed object. So a lot of people think that a lot of these haunted items are just cursed and it's not an actual human spirit or energy that's in the object possessing it or haunting it. Right. But in fact, this item is just cursed by black magic, which again, you got to, do you believe in that magic and witchcraft and all this stuff is real or not? That's, you know,
yeah,
to be determined. I mean, yeah, it just depends on your own personal belief. So,
which I think people vary in how much they believe in this stuff, though. I think people believe in it, but to an extent, they don't believe everything. They're just like you. They're skeptical about all of it.
Yeah. Which is good. I think you should have a healthy bit of skepticism. I mean, there's not a ton of solid like science surrounding a lot of the metaphysical world.
I mean, even with the Amityville, we did a whole episode on that. Remember? That was mostly bullshit.
Yeah.
Story.
I mean, the story could have been, the haunting portion could have been completely made up.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real true crime case, but then everything that follows, the haunted stuff.
Because the hard thing,
think was bullshit. Remember, we came to that conclusion that we both thought it was kind of a hoax.
Well, it's hard too, because then you see movies be made and all sorts of media come out that really blows that story up and makes it kind of larger than life in some ways, and, you know, make a lot of money off of the haunting thing. So I don't know. It's kind of crazy, but haunted objects can be a lot of different things. Oftentimes they're dolls, jewelry, bed frames.
Jewelry makes total sense. I got to say, because I mean, especially necklaces, because they're sitting like right over your heart and stuff, or like earrings are like literally on your head. They're so close to you all the time. And for such long periods of time as a woman, I can definitely see that.
Makes a lot of sense. Bed frames, right? Because you're in bed a lot. So items of furniture that you may frequent could be potentially become haunted. Paintings, especially self-portraits.
That's interesting. I wonder if self-portraits get possessed by the actual person in them, or can they get possessed by just some random spirit?
Well, that's a whole nother debate too, is like, if we are a spirit, a human spirit, then could there be other forms of entities or spirits that could be evil, when you talk about like demons, angels, if you believe in like an angelic demon realm? It really depends on where your spiritual beliefs are at. I mean, and what you believe
personally,
spiritually. Because if you're not a spiritual person and, you know, you're very scientifically based, which is fine, you may be very, very skeptical and closed off to all this.
You might think all of it isn't true.
Yeah,
and you might be right. Bullshit. I mean, it's hard to say at the end of the day. This stuff is not measurable completely. You can't say whether or not all of it's true.
And a lot of it is based on people's accounts, you know, what they say happened. And
it's totally a personal belief.
So, yeah, I mean, like you said, with the jewelry and stuff, if somebody had an untimely death or something and they were happened to be wearing a piece of jewelry, it's possible that their energy could transfer into that
and become haunted by it.
The last thing I want to talk about before we get into the story, though, is like how if you think you might have an object that's haunted, like how can you actually tell if it's really possessed or haunted?
Yeah, like how many of those things on eBay are just totally bullshit?
Well, yeah.
And just being sold as haunted and just because it looks creepy.
I don't know, though. I've seen some really, because YouTube is full of haunted objects.
I know. That's why I'm talking about it. Tons of it.
And I've watched a couple that were pretty convincing. I mean,
really?
It could have been fake, absolutely. But from what you could see in the video and from what the person was saying, it looked very, very real. Like, you could buy these boxes and you open the box. A lot of people open these haunted boxes on camera and they film the whole room and everything. And sometimes weird things start happening in the room as they're opening these boxes.
Like doors will shut or something.
Pictures dropping off of the walls, doors will slant.
See, I'm just so skeptical about that because I've seen shit in the past where things, for example, that Dear David thing that you and I were into. Oh my God,
that drove me insane.
That was like, especially at first, the first week
or
so. Dude,
I was not even going on Twitter on his page because I was like, I don't want the demon to come through my phone. Yeah. Like, I was freaking out. And then when he posted
a picture of it, holy shit, it was scary. Remember I showed it to you? I was like, look at this shit.
Yeah.
But a lot of it, I mean, it all ended up being fake. He did like a ton of it with wires and cat lasers and things like that. So, I mean, there's so much of that that I almost believed and then found out later was bullshit. So it's like hard for me to believe really anything, especially on the internet. It's hard for me to believe that's someone who's like doing a YouTube video too, because, you know, at the end of the day, they're trying to get views. So they want it to be haunted.
Oh, yeah. And so, yeah. I mean, a lot of it is for shock value on YouTube and to get views, for sure.
Yeah, but it's a whole thing on YouTube, for sure. People love to watch this stuff.
Mm-hmm. And even on TV, to some extent. I think some of these ghost shows definitely push the limits a bit.
For sure. But sometimes they piss me off. Like, I honestly get turned off to some of those ghost shows because I feel like they go into these spirit spaces, especially if to hear that some of them are, like, traumatized or went through, like, trauma in their death. Mm-hmm. And then they're just kind of like rotting in this space alone. And then someone's coming to fuck with them. And they're like, what's wrong with you? And the spirit's literally like, fuck off. And the people just keep going.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them.
Well, I mean, a lot of these people that do that and paranormal investigators get called in because they actually are able to release the spirit. And the spirit's actually able to be free. They just need a little extra help out the door.
I know there's some like that, but I feel like there's a lot that just like harass them and like yell at them and like piss them off.
Sure.
Invade their space, exploit them. Like, these spirits don't want to be on camera. They don't want to be on your stupid show. You know, I don't know. I feel bad for them.
Then what's your opinion about like the Stanley Hotel? Because people are making money off of ghosts, like being stuck in the hotel.
Yeah, and ghost tours everywhere.
Ghost tours are all over.
They charge a lot for that ghost tour.
Oh, yeah. And that's not the only example.
Stay in that room. They charged out the ass to stay in the haunted room that Jim Carrey stayed in.
So you think that's all like wrong?
No, I don't. I mean, it's hard to say. Because like with the Stanley Hotel, the stories behind it are historical. They have very interesting stories. Yeah, I've done a video on that. I did the tour. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't think they're necessarily exploiting it. I think it's something that people want to see, and it's like a national treasure in Colorado. So I don't know.
I think it's a fine line.
It's case by case.
Yeah. That's the best way to put it.
But I don't know. Sometimes I have trouble with people that just go like hang out in graveyards just for fun, or like fuck with the tombstones or take pictures with them, like selfies with the, I don't know. I feel like some people have no respect.
Oh yeah. A lot of people have no respect because they probably think it's bullshit too.
Yeah.
And they're doing it.
But a lot of the people that are into it do have immense respect for it at the same time. Yeah. So it's just, like I said, case by case.
It really depends on who you're talking about too. Cause everybody has a different, that's what's just so crazy about this is that everybody has a different perspective on it. Everybody approaches paranormal investigation differently. So it just really depends.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that's common among all paranormal investigators is the use of the EVP, electronic voice phenomena device.
And what does EVP stand for again?
The electronic voice phenomena device, but they're measuring electronic magnetic fields.
Which is just like sounds that come through.
Right. The static, and sometimes you can pick up voices like a couple and words, then the other
say something right. Like, are you blah, blah, blah.
it sounds just like that, honestly, pretty good.
Not all the time though. I've heard some stuff sometimes that's like pretty
get out.
Yeah, no, sometimes the spirits literally are able to communicate. It seems like.
Yeah, no. Oh, man. Yeah, I've heard some stuff come out of those little machines that I'm like, "Whoa."
Yeah.
That sounded like actual words.
Right. Yeah.
I know, it's really weird. So what is this machine?
It's, I don't know fully what it is, but it's...
We need a paranormal expert on the show sometime. Yeah,
I know, and we will.
We have someone in mind.
I mean, you can buy one. I mean, that's the thing is anybody can just buy one of these like on Amazon or something and try it out for yourself.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We should get one for the show.
1 million thumbs up.
Yeah.
All right. 1 million thumbs up and we'll get one.
We'll get an EVP device.
Wait, Janelle, will you look up how expensive they are? I really want to know now.
They're probably, I don't think they're that expensive actually. Cause there's the actual meter device that tells you when there's, you know, levels in the electromagnetic field and
how much are they?
I mean, they range, but you, how do I tell which one works?
Like there's one for like $20.
But is there good ratings on it though?
Well, let's go. I'm on Amazon. Hold on here. We got some for Prime. Here's one that's got great reviews for $32.
Really? $32? That's not bad. We can buy that. Put on the business card.
Oh, you know what?
What?
No, never mind. Doesn't let me see. Hold on.
I feel like if you're going to get a good one of these, you probably can't even get a good one on
right,
Amazon.
Exactly. How do you tell which ones
there's places are effective. You can go. Yeah.
I mean, I want one now, though.
There's brands that are better.
We should
than
try
others.
To use one. We should go to the Stanley Hotel and bring one ourselves.
Yeah, we should. We should conduct a paranormal investigation of the Stanley Hotel.
That always scares me, though. I will freak. If it actually starts happening, I'm going to freak out. I'm going to be like, let's check the fuck out. No way.
No way,
like, there's
man.
No way I'm sleeping. There's no way I'm sleeping.
We have to conduct a seance in the room and open up lines of communication with the dead. That's what we must do.
I'm not doing that.
I understand.
No. I'm not doing that.
But that's the
I'll
thing.
I'll be across the street at the Starbucks waiting for your ass. But I'm not doing that.
Oh, my God. Does anybody want to come with me to the Stanley Hotel?
Yeah, good luck.
Dude, I'm sure you could round up a nice bunch of people on this podcast for sure.
Oh, I'm sure I could. I know you guys
are out
there.
Y'all can go paranormal investigate.
Yeah.
I don't know. This stuff scares me because I believe in it. And I really believe in the Stanley. It's freaky. Especially the little girl, Emily, that lives in the basement and like the cave. The basement, you go into it when you do the tour and it's literally a cave.
Mm-hmm.
It's so scary.
It's pretty scary.
It's freaky stuff. I don't know how these people go into like dark haunted houses that have been abandoned since the 1800s and bring in one of those machines and try to
like
hear them.
Old mortuaries
and then the
hospitals.
The things like screaming at them and they just stay there. I'd be running for the hills. This stuff scares me so bad to my core.
But you don't hear about paranormal investigators dropping dead all the time, right? So the level of danger there is not as great as a lot of people.
But what if
think.
They have like bad shit happening to them in their lives or like bad
well,
luck?
Yeah, I mean, and as a paranormal investigator, I think you're able to over time, based upon your experience, able to tell when you're dealing with a positive entity, a negative entity. You know, and I think a lot of this, you have to have some type of psychic ability to sense, you know, kind of like a sixth sense to feel out
you
the
energy. You
probably
need to be a water sign.
Potentially, yeah, but
I feel like that's why I've never had
Capricorns are not allowed to be ghost readers.
Honestly, probably not. Or Taurus or Virgos.
I think I could be.
Of course, you do, Josh. You think you could be everything? I should list out the things that Josh thinks he should do in his other life.
I know. My next life, I'm going
to
be
astronaut, pizza chef owner, animal rescuer.
I could do it all, man.
Substitute teacher.
Yeah.
Josh loves the idea of being everything. You'd honestly, that's a Virgo though for you. They are good at like whatever they do. So
well, thank
I wouldn't
you.
Be shocked.
But back to ghost readers.
Yeah. No, it's just, I don't know. Let's go ahead and jump into the stories though, because we've got some very interesting ones. And we'll start with potentially the most haunted doll on the planet, Robert the Doll. Robert is a very...
This one freaks me out.
Creepy,
like, really creeps me out.
Creepy doll, man.
He is the scariest looking thing ever. His face.
Yeah. He's like, a frightening one.
I never want to see him ever.
That's mean.
Well, we...
What? Do you know what's wrong with this guy? He will fuck you up. And if you even take a picture of him, he's now behind glass.
Okay, now I'm weirded out because if you look at, is it look at a picture of him? Because I get
no,
so weirded out.
Take a picture of him.
Yeah.
He doesn't allow you to take pictures of him.
But people try.
Yeah. And, let's tell you how he got to where he's at now.
Right. Yeah, if you've never heard of Robert the Doll.
He's a cute little dog or something with him.
Dude,
that's
he's not cute.
That's a scary dog, too.
Nothing about this motherfucker is cute.
And what's weird is he's wearing like actual children's clothes.
This
like, those
is
are not
the
doll, clothes.
Doll that inspired mm-hmm. Chucky, the movies.
Yes. If you've ever seen Child's Play, which Have you ever, you probably have never even seen Chucky or Child's Play, have you?
Are you fucking kidding me? I don't watch that kind of stuff. Why do that? Why do people do this to themselves?
That's what I'm saying. Why would you even pay?
I have too much anxiety for that because I sit there the whole time and I'm like, my heart's racing.
Like, when is it going to happen? When is it going
to
happen?
I've left movie theaters that Josh has brought me to scary movies when we were younger. And I literally left one time in tears. I almost like ended it with him over him bringing me to one. Remember that?
Oh yeah,
you brought me. I brought that you to hell devil. Elevator move. Devil. Oh
yeah.
I started crying. I had like an anxiety attack in the in the bathroom, and then I was like, "I'm gonna tell him I'm leaving."
No, you did not like that.
No, I'm not a scary movie person, which is interesting because like I can read about serial killers all day and not get scared at all.
And I've taken you to haunted houses. You don't mind those. Do you like being scared?
When have you taken me to a haunted house? We were like teenagers. I've taken you to
haunted houses before.
Yeah, and do you remember how I was acting?
No, let's go.
Honestly, again, I probably played it up to seem cute for you, though.
Let's try. Let's go through another one, and we'll report next week after we go to a haunted house.
How Maybe we should like film it for the channel, like how Ellen does, where they like film them going through.
Have Janelle like go in front of us and just.
I'm not going in the haunted house. Get John to do
it. Have you ever gone to a haunted house?
No, I've never been to one.
What?
Never been to a haunted house. John tries to get me to go every year, and I never go.
The reason I hate it is because they go after the most scared in the group. So the person always
me.
Like,
does, hi.
So and don't
they
be
never
scared.
Go after the guys.
No,
don't be scared. Thank you, Josh.
Just don't scream. Advice. Don't scream. Just look straight ahead. Nod your head at them and just walk through and they'll leave you alone.
No, they
they'll
try
pop
to,
out.
They
and then
try
move
to
on.
Make you scared, especially if you're a girl.
I've been it's scared true. In some when I was younger. I used to get scared. I used to go to some corn
freaky.
Mazes.
What if I just
started
like throwing
scary.
Up.
You them. Could. I mean, it's like, it's scary. I don't like it.
And they use bugs, I've heard, and I do not deal with that shit.
I used to arrange it so that my dad would bring my friends there because I would want my dad in the maze with us. So I'd always be like, okay, my dad is going to be the one who brings us and like, he'll take us through.
Follow daddy through.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I would just like hang on to him the whole time until I was old enough for a boyfriend.
God. So no haunted houses for Kendall. No scary movies for Kendall.
No, I definitely don't like Chucky.
Only sunshine and roses.
But I've seen like enough of Chucky, like little, you know,
clips,
trailers
like you know
and
who
shit.
He is
it's creepy. Stuff. I don't like it. It's the same thing. It scares me, but I've never seen those movies and I never will. But the It guy scares me and I think about him sometimes in the night and it scares me.
In the night.
I don't like that kind of stuff. I don't like purposely being scared.
Yeah, not everybody likes that.
But some people
feeling.
Love it because it's like adrenaline. I totally get it.
It does. It gets your adrenaline going. I like it.
I like thrillers. But yeah, different thing.
All right. So the story of Robert the Doll dates back to the early 1900s when a young boy named Eugene Robert Otto was given a truly one-of-a-kind handmade doll.
Yeah, dude. This thing's like 3 feet tall.
Yeah. By a servant that worked for his parents in his home. Eugene, who everyone called Gene, named the doll Robert and quickly became attached to his new friend.
And there's rumors that the servant wasn't happy with this family.
No, no.
And thought the kid was a brat and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And possessed it and then gave it to him.
Mm-hmm. And the home where Eugene lived, which is now called the Artist House, you can actually still go to it. It's located at 534 Eaton Street in Key West, Florida. If you've never been to Key West, definitely go check it out. We've been there and we didn't even think to go look at this house. But this house has been there a very, very long time.
Oh my
time.
Gosh, look at Lily. She's climbing the wall.
Lily, that's not smart. That's not smart.
That was amazing. Honestly, I was rooting for you, bitch. I wanted you to make it all the way up.
She's like literally rock climbing, wall climbing there.
Yeah, we have a very interesting studio setup at the moment, and there's these
our
temporary
cat is climbing
walls.
The walls. That was hilarious, honestly.
But they're like trying. Yeah, they think they
we can, will have a regular studio again. By the way, soon. It's been very delayed. That's a story for another day, though. It's just been a mess.
It's coming. It's coming.
Maybe
one day. So this house that he grew up in was built between 1890 and 1898. It's extremely old, and that's where he bonded with this Robert the Doll. And while this seemed like an ordinary cloth doll, it wasn't long before Robert was involved in strange and somewhat terrifying events. The first hint that something out of the ordinary was happening was one night when Gene was only 10 years old, he awoke to find Robert the Doll sitting at the end of his bed staring at him. Can you imagine?
I can't imagine. I would be so freaked out.
As a kid, I would be truly freaked out if like my Kermit the Frog was like
mortified
sitting at the end of my bed looking like kind of like looking at me or something like.
Yeah.
Like, or I guess I didn't even have a Kermit the Frog. Barney.
Were you ever afraid of anything that you owned as a child? You had a creepy clown.
No.
Were you ever afraid of that thing?
I didn't really have anything scary actually. Though. Yeah.
Did you have anything else?
No, I don't think so. Because I probably would have just told my mom to take it out of my room.
Take that shit out of here. I don't like
anything that's scary.
I wasn't afraid of anything either. People have told me they were afraid of their Barney dolls. I have a Barney. I still have him upstairs in my room. Yeah, and he's in a box. But my sister was afraid of so many dolls. She thought all of her dolls were like possessed.
Only at night?
Hell?
No, like all the time.
Then why would she just get rid of them then?
Because she felt guilty. And then every time she would get rid of them, she would feel like this immense guilt. And she had to go to therapy. It was actually really sad.
That's sad.
She was freaked out. But a lot of kids go through this where they're afraid of items in their house.
Sure.
And I was afraid of Santa.
Kids' consent. Really?
Terrified.
I mean, it makes sense.
For like a good year and a half or so, I remember being like really scared of Santa.
Of him coming in. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to go to therapy for that. That was good.
Yeah, I mean, I think a ton of kids get afraid of like random items that are supposed to be for kids to have, like toys and stuff, and to end up kind of freaking you out. I'm trying to think. I feel like I did have something that used to bother me.
Or like, have you ever thought of any cartoons or like kid shows or that? Like, there's like a scene that's, you know, like from a kid show, but it's like scarred you for life.
Sure.
And you like think about it all the time.
Yes.
There's a lot. There's a lot of
Alvin
things
and like, the Chipmunks Halloween episode, the werewolf
there
one.
There you go.
Freaked me out.
Chitty chitty bang bang.
Josh is so afraid of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, dude.
The child snatcher, man.
You
that dude,
always bring him up.
That dude's a creep, man.
Oh, my
He's
God.
Yeah, they did a good job casting that dude. He's,
some kid stuff is scary.
Mm-hmm. Pinocchio. I got scared of Pinocchio.
Oh, yeah. Whatever
island
too. Pleasure Island.
Yeah, that shit's weird,
yeah, that was
man.
Kind of really creepy, honestly. Janelle probably never saw it. You don't watch Disney movies.
Yeah, I was about
Disney
to say, excuse me, there was something called Pleasure Island.
Yeah.
Dude, Disney's weird. That's
Pleasure
something for
Island.
A different day, but Disney's Disney. Got
Wasn't
some,
it?
Disney's
or was it Treasure Island? I'm pretty sure in Pinocchio it's called Pleasure Island.
Disney's always like
And it's like a bad place. They're all smoking cigars and Pinocchio like shows up and he's terrified.
Oh, no.
Yeah, those early Disney movies are a little rough. But no, it kind of makes me think about little kids that, you know, get scared of these items. Maybe they are getting scared for a reason, though. Like, as a kid, I feel like you're more, like, able to sense that type of world because you're kind of closer to the other side. That maybe some kids do sense, like, some type of spirit in something they have.
And experience paranormal.
Yeah. Like, sometimes I wonder if maybe my sister really did. Like, my sister had a ton of dolls, like, and old dolls. Remember my mom? My mom bought me this old China doll at a thrift store. And I, she creeped me out.
So that's the thing is, like, if it's used, there's a possibility it could be haunted or possessed or something.
Yeah. I always felt really guilty, too, because I had this doll. I got her on my birthday, and we were at this restaurant, and the waiter stepped on her legs, broke her legs, and she was in a wheelchair. My mom literally bought her a little wheelchair, but she was some other person's doll. She was like China.
Well, that's the thing is you never know. Like somebody,
she bothered me. I always just left her up on the shelf. Never,
yeah, she
ever
was
touched
so creepy.
Her.
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
It's freaky.
Yeah, I can't really think of any items that I was scared of. I mean, I was already like petrified of hell and demons, so I don't know what else I could have been really scared of. So
the life of a really religious man. It's okay.
So I mean, I've had that fear since I was real young. But back to Gene and Robert. So Gene wakes up, his doll sitting at the end of the bed. Moments later, his mother wakes up because she hears him screaming for help and hears sounds of like furniture being overturned in her son's bedroom. And Gene is just crying for help, begging for his mom to come rescue him. And when she's finally able to wrench the locked door open, which the door was locked apparently. So I don't know if she locks him in at night or
That's
if
weird.
The door was like locked because of this event that was happening. But when she opened the door, she saw poor Gene curled up in fear on his bed and his room in shambles, like his room completely torn apart.
Whoa.
And Robert was still sitting at the edge of the bed or at the foot of the bed. And Gene's like laying there, like freaking out. And he's like, Robert did it.
What? That is so creepy.
That's so creepy.
If my kid said that, I would be so scared.
I would immediately take that doll. I'd take it out to the backyard barbecue or the fire
burn
pit.
Burn that shit, right?
I'd fucking light his ass on fire.
I was thinking we'll about that doll. Today. That's what I would have done with him. And what would have happened, though? Would his spirit just, like, release, yes, or would you piss actually, him off more?
No, that's actually the best way to release burn it. To burn, especially a negative like entity.
Oh, right.
Rub him up and burn him.
Yeah. Ah. Well, if you think about it, it's like you know, fire kind of kills all, it seems. Or
yeah, that's true. Seems like fire's like the ultimate thing.
Yeah. I mean, you could try like salt, and there's other ways to cleanse haunted items, but burning it's kind of the surefire way to do it. Not surefire. Sure. So, yeah, she's like trying to figure out what's going on. Robert, or her kid's saying that Robert did it. So did he actually do anything? But this wasn't the only occurrence that happened. Jean's parents would often hear their son upstairs talking to the doll and getting a response back in a totally different voice. Didn't you have an experience where who was talking to a doll or something? Or no, you talked to a ghost, right?
Yeah.
You talked well, to your imaginary I, friend that yeah, was a ghost.
I totally could have just like been making it up as a kid. But I talked to someone.
But there was never a different voice that was emitted from your conversation, right?
No.
It was just you talking to it.
Yeah.
It's not like your mom overheard another voice.
No, no, no. No one ever heard it. No one ever heard it. And I never made a big deal out of it. And I don't even really remember hearing it. But I remember like talking to something.
Interesting.
But I was thinking it was an imaginary friend or something. I don't know. I was really, really young. I barely remember this.
Really?
Yeah. It's always been like this weird foggy memory for me. It's like creeps me out.
That's very weird.
I just remember I called her Grace. I know, it's so random.
What the hell?
I don't know, it's the weirdest thing. I don't know, it could have just been like in my head though, because
yeah,
I don't know, very... I had a great imagination as a kid, so
yeah. Interesting. So they reported seeing the doll speak and witnessing his expression change, even giggling, and sightings of Robert running up the steps.
That is so fucking scary.
Or staring out the upstairs window were also reported.
No, no.
It's hard to believe that this could happen, but
I know
it could.
I think it did.
Robert continued to live with Jean throughout his lifetime, and after Jean's parents died, he moved back into their home with his wife, Anne. Jean decided that the doll needed a room of his own and placed him in the upstairs room that had a window overlooking the street. How nice of him. Give him a nice room, a nice little view. Here you go, Robert. I mean, clearly he believed that Robert was like a real thing.
To give him a view.
Mm-hmm. And Jean's wife felt uneasy with Robert in the house, as you could imagine, although she couldn't put her finger on it, and she wanted Jean to lock the doll up in the attic where he could do no harm. And Jean finally gave in, and as one could imagine, Robert the doll was not happy with his new digs in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
Soon, visitors to the home heard footsteps in the attic. Can you imagine?
So
like,
scary.
That would be scary. The footsteps thing is, like, probably one of the creepiest things with paranormal activity. Hearing, like, there could be somebody somewhere.
Have you ever, like, thought you've heard footsteps?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, like, the house creaking or so an animal or something?
Especially in this house with all the trees right outside the windows.
Yes.
When we first moved in, I was so sketched out by, like, every sound I heard.
Really?
Remember, I, like, came downstairs that one night because I thought someone was, like, breaking in and, like... We just heard all sorts of crazy sounds in here when we first moved in.
Oh, I don't know.
Honestly, I kind of believe there was a bit of paranormal activity in
here. Yes, you've been saying that since
beginning.
You moved
in. I do believe that there's
Well, this
some,
is an older house.
And it has had a lot of people through
it. Dude, we found pictures of it, though, when they first lived in it, and it looked so different, you know?
Oh, I'm sure.
I'll have to show you. It actually looked kind of creepy and, like, dingy in here. Yeah. It looked way different.
I'm excited. I want to see it.
No, interesting. Seriously.
I haven't felt anything, so... But I also saged our bedroom a ton and most of the upstairs. I need to do the whole house.
Yeah, we definitely cleansed the house pretty good, I would say.
Yeah.
Because I haven't really had any sort of inklings
issues
of...
since. But the first week you were here, you never, like, told me that.
Yeah, I did. I told both of you guys that.
Oh, yeah, Janelle when you clearly guys remembers. Home.
Yeah, you just don't pay attention when I talk about it.
Yeah, right.
You're just like, oh, Josh is worried.
I probably forgot.
Like, I'm telling you, it's haunted.
The whole move was so stressful. It was like a giant blur. He probably just blocked it out.
The TV kept like randomly turning on. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we did have the TV fall off the mantle in the middle of the night.
That was
what?
Weird.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. That was weird.
In the middle of the night?
In the middle of the night.
Completely fine for at least a week.
Oh, don't scare me. Now I really need to sage again. I totally forgot about that. I blocked it out.
I think the energy's been cleansed. I haven't felt or seen anything since, but
okay, I hope so. Oh, gosh, look at Robert the doll in the museum now. He's so creepy.
Mm-hmm. So neighborhood children would report seeing Robert watching them from the window in the upstairs bedroom.
That is so weird.
And told accounts of the doll actually mocking them as they walked to school. Robert's like, yeah, hey, what up? What are you guys doing?
Oh,
like,
that's so like scary. Jump,
like in the window, like moving his head, watching you as you walk by.
Where's the Snapchat footage of this?
Yeah, I'd like to see the proof.
Yeah. And so he's in the attic. And when he went up, when this happened, he went up to the attic, Gene did. And he wasn't there. Robert had relocated himself to a rocking chair by the window where the boys kids have been walking by.
Yeah, I would have burned his ass by now if I were this guy.
No, man. Can't just, I don't know. I think
I thought that's what you just said you're supposed to do.
No, I know, but not necessarily burn it if it's having a negative impact on you. Like, this isn't really anything.
This would have a negative impact on me 100%, especially if I was getting reports from my neighbors that it was mocking them walking to school.
Josh is like, oh yeah, that's little Robert.
Like, yeah.
Oh, poor little Robert. Yeah, look how scary he is. Look at this motherfucker's face.
So Gene, he actually died in 1974, and when a new owner moved into the house, their 10-year-old daughter was delighted at first to find Robert the doll in the attic.
Why?
But soon that delight ended because Robert was alive, and she claimed that Robert wanted to kill her or hurt her. Mm-hmm. She actually woke up one night in the middle of the night screaming in fear and told her parents that Robert had moved about the room. So it's interesting that Gene left Robert behind in the house too.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Or I guess he passed away, so I guess he just kind of by default was probably up in the attic. That's one thing I haven't checked here is the attic. I got to check the attic.
We have an attic here?
Oh yeah, we have a huge attic. There could be stuff up there too.
Wait, that's are you one thing kidding you me? Do.
No, I'm
is
actually,
it a crawl space wait, or a full on attic?
What are you talking about?
Like you can literally go up there and walk
it's
around.
It's in our closet where? In our room. There's a
what?
There's a opening there and
yeah, but that's like that's well, I had one space. Of those.
No,
yeah.
No.
You can't step on that. You'll go through the ceiling.
It's an attic, dude. It's 100% an attic.
What?
I already had somebody come and confirm that it's an attic.
Okay, well we're opening it tonight. After this is over,
that's terrifying, and it's in my bedroom, and you didn't tell me.
It's kind of creeped me out because there's like a little hole in the corner, and I'm like, that's like big enough for somebody to like put an eye through it and kind of watch through the hole a little bit.
Oh my god, that's so creepy.
Josh, that's just what I
thought.
Why
haven't you told me that?
That's terrifying.
Because it's
you need to
freaky.
Cover that up. What the hell?
And it's in our closet, and I'm like, no wonder. Maybe there's. You know, you watch these paranormal things.
You can actually walk up there. I don't even believe that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you open
it. We live in a ranch.
What do you think that like that big, triangle part to the front of the house is? That's all hollow. If you think about where our actual ceiling is, there's all that space up there. They built the house so that there's all that storage space up there.
Are you kidding me? If you think about it, how come you didn't tell me that when I've been wondering about storage and saying this doesn't, we don't have enough storage?
Because I've been avoiding going up there because I don't know what's up there. And
the truth comes out, ladies and gentlemen.
As I'm thinking about all this,
wow.
It makes me wonder though, if the reason we had paranormal activity in our room is because there's some sort of spirit or entity that
okay, Josh.
Inhabits the attic.
I like that you're just telling me this all now after I've been sleeping in that room awesome. For 2 months.
I'm dead serious, though. I think
so. Maybe we need to go up there like tonight. Maybe we should take a video and then like we could play it on the podcast if anything interesting happens. What if we open it up and fucking Robert the doll's up there?
Oh.
What if there's a doll or there's like a creepy old thing? I feel sick. Now I feel like I'm going to throw up.
The people that built this house, we have no idea who they were.
What if it
did.
Hasn't been open in
they
like
were old though
decades
the who lived here
and there's an old creepy something
there could be stuff up there. I mean, who knows? Nobody goes. It's weird that when you like buy a house, nobody goes and like inspects your attic for weird stuff or like, I don't know. It's kind of weird that nobody's been up there. So I was going to wait and have like our pest control guy go up there and
send the Orkin dude up there.
send the Orkin guy up there to investigate for me. And lay some spider traps because that's my whole thing is I don't want to open it up and all of a sudden some type of animals coming out.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you'd be able to hear if there were animals up there.
What True. On earth? I had no idea we had an attic. This is all news to me. I feel like I'm finding out something huge right now.
It is kind of huge. Oh man. So yeah, we'll find out what's in the attic and let you guys know.
Stay tuned.
So back to Robert the doll. So Robert the doll, after this girl and her family moved in the 70s, they got out of there right away because they immediately, their daughter was terrified, mm-hmm. and they knew something was up, and Robert the doll was actually given away. And today he actually lives in the East Martello Fort, where you can actually go and visit him, of course.
So creepy.
And so, you know, like we were talking about at the beginning, he's in a glass case. A lot mm-hmm. of these haunted objects are behind these glass cases, which isn't just because like it's behind glass. Mm-hmm. It's because they've been,
you know, can contain them.
You can enchant and charm and whatever word you want. Bless the case is like, if you believe in that, and
it protects, keeps
the negative entity trapped. Yes. Okay. Yes. So is Robert the doll really possessed? Many believe that the origin of Robert's evil lies in the one who originally gave him to Jean Otto, which is the servant. This woman was supposedly mistreated by the family, and to punish them, it is believed that she cursed the doll with voodoo and black magic, which could explain it. So this Robert the doll is actually a cursed object and not necessarily some type of spiritual entity that is inhabiting it. So it's cursed. But obviously, no one really knows for sure. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I guess you got to go see him yourself and take a picture of him.
Don't. No, why are you telling people to do that? People who have taken pictures of Robert have like gotten in car accidents, nearly died. Don't take a picture of his ass. That's like his one rule is don't take a picture of him.
A selfie?
Yeah, no selfies with Roberts. And he does not like flashes.
Okay.
Definitely no flash for talk.
Does he have a good side?
He is not into that shit. You can come look at him, but you can't take a picture of him or you'll get haunted is the story. So people, there's literally sorry notes
letters
all around his container of them being like, sorry, Robert, cursed shouldn't have taken your picture.
Yeah.
And there's pictures of people's cars smashed and everything.
Yeah.
It's really
interesting. And even though he's in a glass case, like the staff there even says that they feel extremely uncomfortable when being around him.
Imagine like cleaning his little case and stuff. I'd be like, okay, like, Robert, this is not gonna bother you too long, man.
You just gotta use a Swiffer to get underneath that arm there. It's a little dusty there, buddy.
Yeah, that
creeps Robert,
me
do
out.
You like Lemon Pledge?
He's like, fuck you. Don't take a picture of me. Oh,
that's crazy.
But yeah, he's believed to be the most haunted doll in the world, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
Key West, Florida, if you're ever down there and you're interested in getting a glimpse of the man himself. Yikes. He's down there. This next one, though, is the world's most haunted painting. It's a very creepy painting, and I'll tell you why.
It's very creepy.
So if you're listening, it looks like a man that is
slowly melting and dying.
Slowly melting and burning to death.
Yeah.
Screaming in pain and anguish, hence the name.
But like low-key, he also looks kind of calm in a way. Do you feel that?
I don't feel anything calm from that. No.
I feel like he's like a little bit mellow for his situation. Like I could, for someone who looks like they're burning alive, it looks like he could be a little more dramatic.
Well, it looks like one of his eyes is missing too.
Yeah, dude. He looks like he's far gone.
Just looks like he's singing to me.
No. Honestly. And once you hear how, okay. So the person that painted this was an extremely disturbed individual. He actually mixed his own blood with oil paints in order to create this painting before he committed suicide.
Oh, that's so scary. Okay, that just changed everything. Just forget everything I said.
Yeah.
It's like a peaceful... Would you want to put it in your bathroom? Take a bath with it?
No, I just... Never mind.
I'm just kidding. That's so creepy, blood.
What's interesting is that the guy that actually owns this painting now is named Sean Robinson, and he apparently got it from his grandmother, who told him that a spirit lived within it.
Thanks, Grandma.
And Sean, he didn't actually believe in the paranormal, actually just like was like, whatever, it's, you know, crazy looking painting. I'm gonna hang it in my home.
Yeah.
And so he did. And then his wife began seeing dark figures lurking around the home. His son fell down the stairs. And his wife has felt like something stroking her hair.
That bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
In college, we were in a sorority and there was everyone would talk about how this, like some type of spirit would like pull on their hair. And that creeps me out so mm-hmm. much. Like if anything ever touched my hair in the middle of the night, be so, or just anytime if I ever felt something like or that hand, scares me. Oh, that literally gives me chills. Sometimes you feel
like hand on your shoulder. Like,
No.
And you turn around, there's nobody there.
No. That's so scary. That is so scary. I can't imagine. I'd be like, get this painting. I would throw it off the balcony and hit someone out in the street.
That's not what he did. He still has it. I'm pretty sure he still has it. He actually put it on YouTube and there's a clip of the painting. He started filming the painting because he's like, to prove that it is real.
Yeah.
And so there's a clip on YouTube. We'll show it. And it actually has the painting on the wall and it shows like door slamming and weird things happening.
If his son almost got injured from this thing?
Well, I think he's moved it down to the basement. That's maybe like, or contained it in some way. I don't know.
Maybe he like put it in a case and blessed it. Like the last thing with Robert.
No, I don't think he's done that. But he's heard strange noises coming from the painting, like scratching and like a man crying. So there's clearly some type of, you know, energy from an individual inhabiting this painting, it seems like. But the videos that he has actually, like, he has a YouTube channel, this guy Sean does, and he hasn't posted in a couple of years, but he's got a bunch of different videos on there. Showing like different things that have happened and proving that he has this anguished.
Can we watch some of it?
Yeah, I can show you one of the most popular clips here.
Hello, I've just set the picture of the anguished man back up in the top bedroom. I'm gonna record it for approximately 8 hours, see if we can catch some of the activity.
Burn the shit, dude. What this? This is crazy.
So yeah, that's the anguished man.
Well, it's interesting, but I have to say, as a skeptic side, sure. You know, to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, do how can him? You believe yeah. him?
Right.
Like, what? I mean, you have to just take his word for it. And I'm not like accusing him of lying, but at the same time, like, I have seen people move doors with like fishing wire yeah. and like.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, but that is super creepy.
Well, and I think it's easier to believe haunted objects that have exchanged a lot of hands
yeah.
and multiple people different people have had experiences of paranormal experiences.
But I mean, at the same time, this guy isn't like really profiting off of it. He's not trying to not do anything really. Crazy with I mean, it. Like he just keeps it in his video. House and shares it. It's yeah. not like he sold it off.
Or no, and
like,
he doesn't even post anymore. Like who knows even what happened with it.
Yeah.
Or, who
and he
knows?
Did seem kind of honest, but it's hard to say. I mean, it's totally going to be up to the person watching whether or not you believe that.
Yeah. So this next item is called the Killing Chair of Thomas Busby. In June 1702, so going back, this is an old one. In June 1702, two men were killed, one bludgeoned to death and the other tarred, feathered, and hanged. This is what they used to do to people back then. They'd strip you naked. They'd paint you with hot tar. And then they'd stick a bunch of feathers in you and then hang
you. Feathers
on you. Can you even imagine that?
I've seen the John Adams series. I know what they did.
Yeah. The latter killed the former after they argued about the killer's wife, who was also the victim's father. And after killing his father-in-law, Thomas Busby returned to his favorite chair at a quiet country pub nearby. Eventually, authorities tracked down Busby down to the chair, which he refused to leave. He was, of course, forced up and Busby was dried for his crime. He was tried, and he was found guilty and hanged at a nearby crossroads. And before he died, Thomas Busby cursed the chair. Anyone who sits in his beloved seat will surely meet death. Now, fast forward into the future, this chair remained in that pub for centuries, clearly, a long, long time. And during World War II, airmen from the nearby base frequented the pub, and locals noticed that the soldiers who sat in the chair would never return from the war. In 1967, two Royal Air Force pilots sat in the chair, only to crash their truck into a tree just after they left. In 1970, a Mason tested his fate in the hot seat, only to die that same afternoon by falling into a hole at his job site. A year after that, a roofer who sat in it died after the roof he was working on collapsed.
Oh my gosh.
And when the pub's cleaning lady tripped and fell into the chair, she died shortly afterwards from a brain tumor. And the list goes on. And finally, the pub owner moved the chair into the basement. Unfortunately, even in storage, the chair claimed another victim. After a delivery man took a quick rest while unloading packages in the storage room, he was killed in a car accident that same day.
Wow. Sounds haunted to me.
So eventually, the pub owner donated a chair to the local museum in 1972.
Good call, man.
And the museum actually displays a chair by hanging it 5 feet in the air so that no one can possibly sit in it.
Oh, that's again, so creepy.
Unfortunately, that's no one has. But some people claim that the chair has claimed the lives of some 63 people who, after taking a seat, had untimely deaths. Others say it's just coincidence, but I don't know. That's kind of crazy.
That is.
The fact that the untimely deaths happened so quickly after is
definitely makes you wonder.
Telling. I mean, it's interesting.
I definitely think there's cursed items.
Yeah.
You know?
But how do you really curse an item?
I mean, I'm not the right person.
Especially
to ask.
Like as you're being, I mean, as you're, is there some type of transfer that happens like right before you die? Like you're able to pass your energy onto an object in some way or curse it or, you know?
Well, it's kind of interesting if you think about, you know, near-death experiences. We've done an episode on about that.
Yeah.
And how there are so many reports of people feeling like they leave their bodies and like hover above. Like maybe when you die, your soul does leave your body and like kind of floats around. And if it's unsettled and you're not going to pass on to the next life, maybe it attaches to something.
Sure. That's a good,
you know,
that's a great theory for sure. Yeah. I mean, who really knows? But yeah, what a crazy object, this chair. The next thing is called the Myrtle's Plantation Mirror. So Myrtle's Plantation is allegedly a haunted bed and breakfast that many consider to be the most haunted house in the United States and potentially one of the most haunted houses in the world, actually, which a plantation doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
This plantation dates back to 1796, and it was built on a Native American burial ground. Never a good idea. And additionally, it is rumored to be the location of at least 10 murders, and paranormal events are an almost daily occurrence here. One of the main hauntings, though, surrounds the story of a slave girl named Chloe, who was allegedly killed by the other slaves for poisoning one of the meals prepared for the family that lived there. And the legend says this meal directly resulted in the death of Sarah, Matilda, and two of her children. Visitors to the Myrtle's plantation have reported seeing Chloe wandering around the plantation, sometimes accompanied by the sound of wailing children.
Ooh.
The oldest child of Sterling is said to have been murdered in the home and as a result of being stabbed over a gambling debt. And there's also a spot on the floor that supposedly can never be cleaned. Three Union soldiers allegedly broke into the home in an attempt to rob it and were shot in the parlor. And the spot is reportedly the same size as a human body and is where the soldiers fell. So the spot that can't be cleaned is some sort of remnants from these soldiers, which is crazy. But perhaps the most haunted item on the premises is a mirror that was added to the home in 1980. It's like this creepy mirror. It's got this gold frame to it. It's very almost like Victorian looking. Mm-hmm. But it's said to retain the spirits of those who have died in the house. And frequently, photographs taken by visitors in the mirror show multiple handprints on the glass, despite the mirror being thoroughly cleaned every day.
Well, sometimes you can't get handprints off.
But also people seeing like possible apparitions of these children and things like that. Just really creepy, weird things.
Sometimes mirrors do seem really creepy, especially if they're dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Those older looking ones.
There's a lot of,
you think of all the people who have looked in it before you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of haunted mirrors out there, actually. But the next thing is my favorite of the objects we're going to talk about, and that's Annabelle.
Oh, this creeps me
Another doll. The dolls are very creepy.
Yeah, the dolls are definitely creepy.
But before we talk about Annabelle, we'd like to thank our last sponsors for today.
So one thing that I absolutely despise doing is going to our post office. It's so slow. It's just absolutely chaotic. And it's a stressful situation. It's a total hassle. I mean, who has got time for all that traffic, parking, lugging all your mail in and your packages? That's why you need Stamps.com. It's one of the most popular time-saving tools for small businesses, and Stamps.com eliminates trips to the post office and saves you money with discounts that you can't even get at the post office. Stamps.com brings all the services of the post office and brings them right to your home computer. Whether you're a small office sending invoices, an online seller shipping out products, or even a warehouse sending out thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. You can use your computer to print off official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter and any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail is ready, just hand it to your mail carrier or drop it off in the mailbox. It's that simple. And with Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off for every first-class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. Not to mention, it's a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder that 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. Right now, our listeners can get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com and click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in Mile Higher, and you will get your discount. That's stamps.com and enter Mile Higher.
As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is super easy, but getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high-interest credit card debt. Upstart would have really helped me a few years ago when I had a bunch of credit card debt and my credit was not in a great spot, and it was very hard to get a loan to consolidate that debt. And what's awesome about Upstart is they go beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you, and they understand that. And they make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. And the best part is that once the loan is actually approved and accepted, most of the people get their funds on the very next business day. So no waiting long periods of time to actually get the money you need. It comes the very next day. Over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. And hurry to upstart.com/milehigher to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes, and it won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/milehigher. So Annabelle the doll is actually another one of the most haunted dolls in the world. And in 1970, a woman shopping in a thrift store bought a Raggedy Ann-style doll for her daughter, who was in college. Very weird gift. Yeah. But her daughter liked it, of course, and put it in her apartment. But soon, her roommate and her both noticed odd things happening involving the doll. It would move by itself, often being touched.
It's freaky.
It would move by itself, often being found in another room, even though no one had touched it. They found small scraps of parchment paper, which they didn't even own, with childish handwriting scrawled on them. So there was like creepy writing on these little pieces of paper that they actually found that no clue who wrote it. And it was in this like childish handwriting. I think it said like, help something. I can't remember what the other part is, but it said help something in like this weird writing. And they even found the doll standing on its ragdoll legs one day. Can you imagine that? Coming home and seeing a doll standing on her
super
the legs.
Freaking
like,
scary.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that would freak me out. The dolls really creep me out.
They really do.
Especially that they're all these like really big dolls. I mean, they're not
did
just
you ever
like
have
little
a,
dolls.
Ever have a Raggedy Ann?
Yeah. Doll? Have you ever seen a Raggedy Ann? My
I
grandparents
had one.
Had one. Yeah.
No, Grammy and Grandy had one at their house, though. They had Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Whoa, creepy. I bet they are still around somewhere. They're probably in storage or something.
Yeah, they're probably in storage. They were our parents' toys.
Wow.
Ooh. Old, they owned them.
Old,
yeah, I had a Raggedy Ann doll. I was obsessed with that thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I never really got the whole Raggedy Ann
thing.
They're
kind of creepy looking, too.
But yeah.
They kind of look like clowns, like little like...
They look like childish. Annabelle, kind of that movie.
Yeah,
the fact that
the movie's based on this doll, yeah.
Well, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy.
Mm-hmm. The fact that the nose is a triangle is so creepy looking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the movie Annabelle, which this story inspired, you know, The Conjuring and the whole series investigated by Ed and Lorraine Warren, which we'll talk about in a minute. But
they're
Annabelle
famous.
The movie is actually one of my favorite movies, actually. It's very interesting. I find this story. It's actually really, it's creepy, but it's a doll. Like, how scared of a doll could you be?
I was even scared during that one movie that's not even supposed to be really a horror movie.
Which one?
The one that was made by Jordan Peele.
Oh, Get Out?
Yeah, Get Out. That wasn't even supposed to be like a horror movie. And
no, it's
I
a
had
thriller.
To like leave during it.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
We watched it together and you really liked it.
I didn't watch the brain surgery part again with you. Remember, I literally left again.
Oh, I didn't see the part either.
Spoiler alert.
We left together.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good.
We were like, we're going to leave during this scene. Bye.
It was kind of like crazy. I mean, it was just, it was more mind like
yeah,
crazy.
It's more of a thriller. But yeah, even that kind of stuff scares me. So totally. Definitely have not seen Annabelle.
Yeah, it's creepy. Don't see it.
So the frightened girls contacted a psychic medium who told them that the doll was possessed by the spirit of a young girl who had died in the apartment building.
Yikes.
Annabelle was the name. And they said that she liked the college girls and wanted to stay with them. So they told her that she could. Interesting. So the medium said, hey, this is possessed by a spirit. Her name's Annabelle. Can she stay? And they were like, sure.
What? I'd be like, no, please burn it immediately.
Yeah. Well, they made the wrong decision because granting the spirit permission leads to increased paranormal activity.
If you're just like, yeah, sure, come on in. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you welcome the spirit in, mm-hmm. then they will show themselves even more because they're like, hey, you invited me in. I'll show you who I am. So this is when they started having crazy paranormal activity in their apartment, actually, including having a male friend get attacked by the doll one night, leaving vicious scratch marks all over his chest and torso. So after this, obviously, they're at their wits' end, and the girls contacted renowned psychic investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren, which Lorraine Warren actually recently died this past year, I believe. There's a lot of horror movies and paranormal investigations that these guys did that ended up as horror movies, I should say. But this married duo soon found the doll is not possessed by the spirit of a child at all, but rather it is possessed by a demon who had lied about its identity in order to get close to the girls, perhaps intending to possess one or both of them. So that's the difference between Robert the doll and Annabelle the doll is Robert the doll, we believe, is a cursed object. Annabelle the doll is actually possessed by a spirit and a negative entity, aka a demon. If you believe in demons and angels, like if you believe in that there's positive, negative, and negative energy, then you believe there's positive, negative entities, positive entity being like an angel mm-hmm. or something, and a negative entity being a demon. Yeah. So they believe that Annabelle is possessed by a demon, and the girls actually gave Annabelle to the Warrens, who encased it in a glass display cabinet, much like Robert the doll, in their occult museum in Connecticut, actually. And the sign on the glass reads, quote unquote, warning, positively do not open.
Oh, that's so scary.
Yeah. And I believe you can still go see it today, Annabelle. They still have.
Ugh, I don't want to see any of those things. I feel like it could attach to me. It scares me.
Yeah. Very creepy. But obviously the movie, they made Annabelle the doll much, much scarier than just a Raggedy Ann doll. If you've ever seen those movies, it's definitely creepy. So this next object is another painting, and this is called The Hands Resist Him. This is a very bizarre painting, very creepy painting. Honestly, a bit disturbing because it shows a young boy standing next to a girl doll with hollow eyes and a sad downturned mouth.
Aww.
The doll is holding a strange device with wires coming out of it. But the eeriest part of the painting is that there are many disembodied children's hands reaching toward the boy through the glass panels of the door.
Oh, that is so freaky.
If you look, it's just a bunch of like little hands.
They look so upset too. Oh, what a creepy picture.
Mm-hmm. But what's even more disturbing than the actual painting itself are the stories of what has happened to people who have come in contact with it. It has an ordinary beginning. It was painted in 1972 by the artist William Stoneham, who was on a contract to produce two paintings a month for $200 each. And in 1974, it was put on display at the Feingarten Gallery in Beverly Hills, California. And it was reviewed by the art critic for the Los Angeles Times, Henry Seldes, and purchased by the actor John Marley, who was in The Godfather. But then the story gets weird. A few years after the painting was sold, the art critic Henry Seldes died.
Oh, wow.
Then the gallery owner died.
Cursed.
And then in 1984, John Marley died.
Damn.
And then the painting just straight up disappeared for years.
What?
And didn't,
they still know
they
where it is now?
No. Well, they didn't know where it was for a long time, but then it finally resurfaced in 2000 in a bizarre posting on eBay.
Oh, that's so
weird. Like, all these people died, painting disappears, then randomly in 2000 just shows up on eBay.
And it says that the owners were trying to sell it because they said it was haunted.
Mm-hmm.
No shit.
The owners said that they claimed the boy and the doll in the picture would fight each other during the night, which would terrify their 4-year-old daughter.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
They said,
what is she holding in her hands?
We don't know exactly. In the picture,
it looks like a bomb.
Yeah,
there's like wires coming out of it.
Does look like some sort of bomb,
like pipe bomb or something. Yeah, it's
weird looking. So the owner set up a motion sensing camera in the room for 3 nights and claimed they captured the boy in the picture leaving the frame and coming into the room.
Oh, hell.
Apparently fleeing in terror.
That is so creepy.
In what a skeptic might think was a marketing ploy, the owners warned buyers not to bid on the painting if they were faint of heart or unfamiliar with supernatural events. But more than 30... You'd be,
like, possessed if you just bid.
Right. Or just, interact with the posting at all. But what's crazy is 30,000 people visited the auction page. Many reported just looking at the painting made them feel ill or upset. And the painting ultimately sold for a whopping $1,025 to a buyer in Michigan who is reportedly keeping it in storage and refusing much, much bigger offers to buy it. And because of the internet sensation, Stoneham came forward with what inspired him to paint such a haunting scene. The boy, he said, was himself. It was modeled on a photograph taken when he was 5. And the title comes from a poem written by his then wife. It reads in part, "The hands resist him like the secret of his birth." Stoneham was adopted, and the children's hand, he says, represents other lives. The glass door is the barrier between worlds, and the doll his guide between those worlds. And he actually went on to do another series of sequels paintings called The Hands Invent Him, which depicts the scene on the other side of the door, which is kind of weird. So
it's
just kind of a creepy painting that he made that, I don't know, somehow ended up haunted. Wow. Yeah, very weird. And this last object that we're going to talk about today is probably the craziest of them all.
This is so creepy.
It's known as the most haunted object in the entire world. And it's called the Dybuck Box.
Dybuck.
Dybuck, yep. So what is the Dybuck? In Jewish mythology, a Dybuck is a malicious spirit that is believed to be the lost soul of a dead person. Instead of going to heaven, the soul becomes trapped in an object and will remain there until someone helps release the spirit.
I didn't know that was part of Jewish mythology. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there's different flavors of of Judaism and Christianity. So yeah, some believe in, I mean, Christians believe in demons and evil spirits and things like that too. So
it's weird that they have like their own word for it though, a Dybuck.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And the word Dybuck actually comes from the ancient Hebrew word meaning to cling. So the story begins in September of 2001 when an antique buyer and refinisher, Kevin Manis, attended an estate sale in Portland, Oregon. The auction was held to sell off the belongings of a 103-year-old woman, and her granddaughter informed the antique dealer of the woman's past when she noticed that he had purchased a simple wooden wine cabinet. The old woman had been Jewish, the only one of her family members to have survived her time in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. When she immigrated to the United States, the wine cabinet and the two other items were the only things she brought with her. The woman's granddaughter explained that her grandmother had always kept the box hidden away and said that it should never, ever be opened because it contained a malicious spirit called a Dybuck.
Oh, that's so creepy.
She had actually requested that the box be buried with her. But by doing that, it actually went against Jewish tradition, so her family didn't do it. And when Kevin asked the granddaughter if she would like to keep the box for sentimental reasons, the woman refused. And actually became very upset and said, "We made a deal. You have to take it."
Jeez.
So Kevin took this wooden box to his furniture refinishing shop and then put it in his basement. And one day when he left the shop while he went on an errand, he soon got a call from his frantic salesperson that someone was in the shop swearing and smashing things. When Kevin returned to the shop, he found the lights in the basement broken and the room filled with the stench of cat urine.
What?
Yeah.
Was there a cat?
I don't think so.
Ooh, but
it just smelled like cat
ammonia.
Urine. Yeah, like probably just a really nasty, you know, that
really putrid cat smell.
Yeah, it's horrible. So when Kevin started working on the box, because he was going to refinish it, his, you know, antique, he quickly decided not to, and instead just decided to clean it. And when he was getting ready to give it to his mother as a birthday gift,
that's nice.
His mother came to the shop so the two could go out for lunch, and at which point he gave her the box. And when Kevin left briefly to make a phone call, an employee came to him saying something was wrong with his mother. He returned to his mother and found her sitting in a chair, expressionless, crying, and totally unresponsive. She was rushed to the hospital, and it turned out she had had a stroke and lost her ability to speak for a long time, literally right after he gave her this box.
That's definitely a curse then.
Mm-hmm. During this time, she could only speak using a spell board in which she would point to letters to spell out words.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary. This is why I don't want anything to do with anything haunted.
Yeah, crazy, man. And when he asked her how she was doing, she spelled out, no gift.
No gift. Wow.
When he said he'd given her a gift, she emphasized hate gift. So she knew.
Yeah, she was like, this is bad. Whoa, that's so scary. She blamed
the box. So then Kevin decided to give the box to his sister.
Kevin, like, what you doing,
well,
man?
Well, mom doesn't want it. We'll give it to sister. And she kept it for a week and then gave it back. And then he gave it to his brother and then his brother's wife. Who only kept it for 3 days and then returned it. And the brother said it smelled like jasmine flowers, and his wife said it smelled of cat urine. Hmm. Wonder if a cat just pissed in this box, maybe. That's maybe. Why it smelled like cat urine.
Or just some type of ammonia scent.
But he just kept re-gifting this box, and eventually he sold it to a middle-aged couple, and 3 days later they found the box sitting in front of a shop with a note saying, quote-unquote, this has a bad darkness. So Kevin took it home, and while he had the box at home, he began to have nightmares in which he was walking with a good friend, and when he looked into his friend's eyes, he saw something evil looking back. The friend turned into a gruesome, demonic hag that proceeded to beat him, and he'd actually wake up with bruises and marks on his body. This fucking box. And when his sister and brother and his brother's wife came to stay the night, all of them had the same dream. That's what's crazy. Imagine waking up, like having people over, and you're like,
"Oh, did you just? Oh my gosh, that'd be weird."
And you all dreamed about this demonic hag.
Oh, that's creepy. He said he saw
this creepy woman.
Ugh. Taking over all of their dreams. That's so weird.
Yeah. So yeah, sister, brother, his brother's wife, and his girlfriend, all the same dream. He also began to see shadow creatures in the home. And as did the visitors, people that were staying with him. So he put the box in a storage unit outside and was soon alerted by the smoke alarm in the unit. And when he went to investigate, there was no smoke, but there was that smell of cat urine, which he had smelled before. He then took the box into the house and began searching the internet for information about the box. While he was doing that, he fell asleep and then had a nightmare and woke up at 4:30 a.m. to the feeling of someone breathing on his neck.
Oh, hell no.
And to the smell of jasmine flowers.
Interesting. It's either jasmine or cat urine.
Well, it makes sense if he's seeing a hag, an old woman, you know, like someone, an old woman would probably smell like jasmine flowers. And
I wear jasmine all the time. Am I an old woman too? Jasmine's delicious.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying specifically, but a woman of some sort, you know,
and
the fact that he's dreaming about this evil, almost like witch, it seems like, in a sense. And so he woke up to breathing down his neck, and he saw a shadowy figure lurking down the hall. And he's quoted as saying, I find myself walking with a friend, usually someone I know well and trust at some point in the dream. I find myself looking into the eyes of the person that I'm with. It is then that I realize that there is something different, something evil looking back at me. At that point in my dream, the person I am with changes into what can only be described as the most gruesome, demonic-looking hag that I have ever seen. This hag proceeds then to beat the living shit out of me. That's crazy.
Whoa.
So at this point,
that's bad luck.
I mean, after having so many of these dreams, I'd get rid of this long before that.
Absolutely.
Like, clearly there's something wrong with this object, but he puts the item back on eBay. And then just
give it to someone else.
Yeah. Cause he's like, hopefully somebody out there who knows more about the paranormal will buy it off of me and, you know, take it off my hands. So finally in June, 2003, he was bought by a university student named Losev Nitsky. Nitsky put it back on sale on eBay 8 months later after he said roommate suffered insomnia and illnesses in the presence of this item, where he then sold it to Jason Haxton for $280. Haxton claims to have experienced paranormal activity in the presence of this box, though he also states that it has had an anti-aging effect on him, which is interesting.
Anti-aging?
Yeah.
So it's like good for skincare? Kept him young.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, not skincare, because he said he's experienced welts and hives when he had first had the box. Oh. Hmm. And he even experienced coughing up blood and choking.
Oh, jeez. That's not good.
Mm-hmm. He said touching it almost puts it into a liquid state. He relates that while he's had the box, he's seen strange lights and shadows. But he took a different approach to this, more of an intelligent academic approach to understanding the box. He enlisted the help of scientists, paranormalists, Kabbalists, Wiccans to put the box into a more manageable state so he can keep it. And he believes the force contained in the cabinet is neutral, but plays off of who comes in contact with it. Its ultimate goal is to understand and reveal truth, and that it was seeking the right owner to help it. And for a long time, he kept the box secure in an acacia wood ark lined with 24 karat gold and stashed it into his office. But more recently, he's admitted he ended up putting it into a military grade shockproof container buried somewhere where it's well hidden and won't be discovered.
Oh, interesting. That's kind of a good way to do it.
But that was even a while ago, because more recently, this guy, Zach Bagans, he's on that Ghost Adventures show. Hmm. He's probably the most well-known paranormal expert in the world, I would say. Like, everybody knows Zach Bagans because he owns that haunted museum in Las Vegas, which has some of them, all of those items, a lot of these items, including those paintings, some of those paintings we talked about in there.
I would never want to go in there.
But Zach Bagans acquired the box from Jason Haxton, who actually Jason Haxton worked on a film, I believe, about this box called The Possession in 2012, actually. There was a film done on this box. So then after that, Zach Bagans, he got a hold of it, and it's now part of his collection of paranormal objects in his haunted museum. But the last point I wanted to make about this box, and most recently, is that he keeps it in a room inside of a glass container that contains, you know, the evil or whatever is in this box. And he won't just let anybody go in there. Like, if you want to go in there, he only allows someone to go in there with him.
Wow.
You have to be with Zach. He takes it very, very seriously.
Definitely.
And he's never.
Are you charged extra to see this, to go in the special room with him?
Well, I don't think he just lets anybody have to know him personally, or you have to be a friend of his to go in there. And I think he might have let some people from the public, like he makes you sign a waiver and everything. But what's interesting is Post Malone visited the haunted museum, and Zach took him into the Dybuck box room, and he actually opened it. And Zach was touching the box, and Post Malone was touching Zach. And there's actually a clip of showing what happened there. It's pretty interesting. Just show a little bit of it. Yeah, so Zach opens a box, and Post Malone has his hand on his shoulder, and they exit the room together. Whoa. But what's crazy and makes me believe that this object is in fact haunted or possessed in some way, shape, or form is that shortly after Post Malone's visit with this object, he had a bunch of crazy things happen to him. His private jet was forced to make an emergency landing after blowing two tires. He was then in a serious car crash, and his home was burglarized.
All really fast,
right after it.
Yeah, it happened all within a month or something.
Of him visiting with the Dybuck box. So, you might get lucky to go see it, but it is in the haunted museum. Just going.
So does that mean it just wears off on you after a while? Like the curse kind of goes away?
Well, I don't know. We'd have to ask Post Malone about that. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure. Curious. Like,
he looked like he believed in it in that video.
I think he did. And he probably, you know, there's probably a way to remove that from yourself, I'm sure. Yeah. I would love to go to the haunted museum sometime, though. That'd be cool. There's a lot of interesting stuff there. If you've ever been there, let us know what your experience was.
I just feel like I would feel like sick physically.
Well, that's what would be interesting to see, is I think it would be a great like telling sign, you know, for you to go in there and see what you feel and what you
urea.
What you experience. Yeah. A lot of people experience crazy stuff in there.
Ugh, it just makes me nervous. What if something attaches to you?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the risk, right?
I get scared even going into like graveyards and walking around. Like in Scotland, we went to a really cool, not ancient, but an old graveyard.
I mean, it's pretty old.
It was really old. And it was creepy being in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was interesting. It was beautiful. It was cool to see all the structures and how different it was, but
and you would think that that's where the paranormal activity would be, like all at the graveyards.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't hear that many stories though about the graveyards. It's like,
well, I think it's harder to capture it like outside probably than inside of a building of some sort. So yeah, that pretty much wraps up some of the most haunted objects in the world. I mean, I'd love to do an episode on the most haunted places or haunted houses in the world. I love all this shit.
Yeah, maybe we should do that soon. Yeah, let us know what you guys want to see for next week or the week after that. We are doing spooky topics.
Oh, I've already got one that we're doing that it's been long requested.
Okay, cool. But
yeah,
if you guys have any other ideas, throw them out there.
Definitely.
Because we might pick yours.
Definitely. Let us know what object you think is the most haunted out of all the ones we talked about, or if there's one that we missed.
If you've ever had an experience with a haunted object, I'd love to hear that because I just really have no experience with this stuff.
Most of us haven't, you know, so it's just interesting to think about and talk about and, you know, maybe one day experience. So,
yeah,
but we'll go ahead and wrap it up there for today, guys. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mile Higher Podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We did. And, we will, see you next time. Stay safe
and stay woke.